This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's time to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
I'm gonna read it. Read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, they're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that, the Fan podcast, at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with the Oakland Athletify. We put that out every single where you can get. Did you see the Oakland A's commemorative hat that came out, the legacy hat? Have you seen this hat, Joe?
Yeah, and it says ass on it.
It says ass.
That's a real hat?
It's a real hat. Sold out.
Stop. Like, did the team put that out? Or did someone make this hat and, like, sell it somewhere?
I'm pretty sure it's a New Era hat, so that's official. You can't make your own New Era hats.
No.
New Era has contracts, exclusivity, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, there's a lot to get to in the second half.
There's
we have
no
fair foul coming
way.
Up in a half hour. Is the Reds a sneaky
wow. This
job
is...
you want, but there's also an A's hat that says ass.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've only looked at one Twitter account, and as we know, Twitter never lies, but...
Twitter is still a thing? Holy God.
Excuse me, X?
That's still a thing? I thought Twitter would last longer than X.
I love how I can still just go to Twitter.com and it shows up, you know, because I never was going to call it X to begin with. But yeah, that's a real thing. Oakland ass.
Well, it's A's, 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 A's. It's like the Oakland A's, 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 A's.
No.
How'd that get past the brainstorm room?
Jed Fisher? Easy.
How did anything get past anybody in that organization? Yeah. God.
But we're going to take this. We got a lot to get to. Coming up in about 10 minutes, I kind of want to get into, is the Cincinnati Reds who fired David Bell, is that a sneaky good job to have if you're a potential head manager, whether you're an assistant or a former looking for a gig? But I want to kind of get into this playoff situation. We come back next week. Playoffs will be set. We'll be ready to rumble. So I kind of want to play around with the idea of what it's going to look like. If the playoffs ended today, the American League would be in the wild card, I should say, because Guardians, Astros tonight, and Yankees have sewn the division. And then a National League, the Phillies have sewn that up. The Brewers have sewn that up. The Dodgers have not. That's the only division champ we don't have right now. So when you look over at the wild card position, if the playoffs ended today, your American League wild card is Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Detroit Tigers. Stop me the last time you heard that. The National League would be the San Diego Padres, the New York Mets, and the Arizona Rattlers.
The Serpientes?
Serpientes. I wish I had it, but I just don't.
Oh, the Diamondback Rattle?
Yeah, it's somewhere.
It should be up there.
I don't know where it is.
Cool. I like those teams. That sounds pretty fun. How about that?
Cool. Joe says.
People can kiss my ass.
I will say.
Cool, dude.
We are getting very close to this season ending with your Royals and my Tigers both making the playoffs.
Isn't that insane?
We called it. We called it. I mean, granted, I think I called that the Tigers aren't going to be as bad as they were last year, which, you know, I guess that's calling it, but...
And the White Sox were like, yeah, dude, we got your back on that one.
Yeah, I think the reason that there's three teams for the AL Central making the playoffs is because the White Sox gave them all, like, 15 wins each.
15 of their 19 games played.
I guess, what is it, division games, they play 13 each
It used to be 19. I think you're right. I think now it's 13.
What? Now I'm curious. I got to look up what they went in their division, the Chicago White Sox.
I think Cleveland shut them out this year. I think Cleveland went 13-0 against the White Sox.
They went 8-41 so far this year, the White
against
Sox.
Against the Central?
Against the AL Central.
But what I find fascinating about this American League wildcard race, which really is three teams from the Central, the Mariners, if you don't believe in God, and the Orioles, who have a giant lead.
Well, the Orioles are clinched.
Orioles are clinched.
It's locked in.
They're locked in. So you've got Kansas City and Detroit, who are tied for the second and third. Twins, two games back. Mariners, 2.5. I'm not going to say the team that's 3.5 back because they suck and they're not going to make it. But never in my life would I have thought the race for the wild card would be the Royals and the Tigers and the Twins. And two of those three teams are playing like the Oakland ass that is. And those are not the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
Kansas City and Minnesota are doing everything in their power to not make the playoffs.
Well, I think it's crazy. We were, Jordan and I were doing the show 4 weeks ago, when the Royals tied the division.
Yeah.
In the AL Central. And we're like, wow, this Cleveland Guardian team has to be.
Just meltdown.
Yeah, unreal. Like, what is worse, the Mariners meltdown or the Guardian? And now the Guardians are 7.5 games leading the division.
Locked in, just setting things up for the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Royals, they might not even finish second in it. They might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, the team that finishes third in that division is going to be like, damn, we all had a shot.
Yeah. The absolute wild finish to the season because. I mean, yeah, at this point, literally last week, 2 weeks ago, we were looking at, all right, it's going to be the Guardians, obviously winning that division. Royals are playing so great that it locked them in.
I mean, the Royals look so good there.
You know, I remember...
Late August, they look so good.
I mean, the Tigers, I want to say they were like 73-71 at one point. And I was like, oh, ho-hum, they're tied with the Mariners right now. They have the same record as the Mariners. Isn't that cute? They're playing better
and
baseball.
That's how you look at it. That's cute.
Yeah, and then it's like, dude.
You have the same record as a team that should go to the playoffs, but it's a dumpster fire.
And then they keep winning. And then the Twins, I mean, let's not let them off the hook. I mean, they might not even finish 500. They'd have to lose 5 straight games, and then they would finish at 500. But I want to talk about a collapse on their part, too. I'm seeing a lot of red L's on their schedule here.
You're looking at the Kansas City Royals in their last 10 games are 3-7. The Minnesota Twins in their last games are 3-7. The Detroit Tigers in their last 10 games are 8-2.
Well, how about this? I'm looking at the beginning of September-ish here. Going into September 3rd, the Twins were 75-62. And now they're 81-76. They've gone 5-14. Since September 3rd.
That's absolutely brutal. And we sit here and talk about how Rocco Baldelli and Craig Counsell and all these former players are great minds and innovative, and this is what you give us.
And 72-57 on August 24th.
And I think
15 games above 500, and now you're only 5 games above 500.
I think what's most interesting about this American League wildcard race is, I think if you looked at the teams, like from a real baseball standpoint, not records, not fantasy, just who you would play and who you would not want to play. I don't want to play the Royals. They got guys. Seth Lugo's been on a heater. Bobby Witt is gonna, you know, is gonna finish second in the MVP. The Minnesota Twins, they got guys all over the place, like above average guys at every position. You know, Correa is above average. Royce Lewis is above average. Carlos Santana is above average. Their starters are above average. Their bullpen is above average. The team I want to play is Detroit, right? I want to play those guys. They're the best team of the three right now.
Yeah, it's getting to that point where there's some teams that are just hot and playing very well right now and are going to come into the playoffs with confidence. And the three teams in the AL that have that right now are the Yankees, the Guardians, and the Tigers. I mean, the Astros as well. You should throw them in.
The Astros have made it, but they've kind of been a little beneficial of Seattle melting down, getting healthy at the right time, and death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, Orioles, Kansas City, the Twins, you know, obviously Orioles are going to be in the playoffs. But again, we talked about in the last segment. It's like, they're my team. I don't have a lot of confidence in them right now.
Dare I ask this question? Would you rather play the Orioles or the Tigers?
I mean, I would rather play the Orioles right now.
I think so, too.
No, I'd steal the Tigers. I'm sorry. I feel Orioles lineup's too elite.
I mean, the lineup is elite, but like Tarik Skubal versus Corbin Burns, Corbin's been sketch.
And again, Pantomima, Orioles, scary.
Fair.
Orioles are my natural instinct because I've seen how they've been playing recently, but they are getting healthier. They got Westberg back. They're getting Mountcastle back. Ramon Urias was on a heater until he went down. So my natural instinct, because they've been so bad lately, is Orioles. But again, the Tigers, they turned it on here late. So if you take the full sample size of the season, how good are they? But talk about, you know, baseball postseason, teams that get hot at the right time, they make a run. How insane would it be if the Tigers make the World Series?
This Tigers team, you know what this Tiger team reminds me of? It reminds me of the 2015 Astros.
I'm trying to think.
Ahead of schedule. They lost to the Royals in the first round, but they put up a hell of a fight. Royals went on to win the World Series, but the Astros put up a hell of a fight. They had these kids named Correa, Springer, you know, they had all the kids, kind of Bregman.
It was the first year they
were ahead of schedule. They were supposed to peak in 16, but they made the playoffs in 15, gave the Royals a run, and then lost. This Tigers team reminds me of that. I think they're ahead of schedule. And even though he turned a blind eye to hitting trash cans, I think this proves that A.J. Hinch is a Major League Baseball manager and a top-tier manager. I think this Tigers team is ahead of schedule. They'll probably take a step back next year if they're willing to spend money. This team can go on a run. This team can. Riley Green is a great player. Tarik Skubal is a great player. You got one on each side and a good manager. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what, I mean, as you mentioned earlier in the show, it's like, I don't know who's going to win the World Series.
I don't.
And then when you see stuff like this happen late, again, teams getting hot, you're like, well, now I'm really curious to see what the hell happens.
Safest money. I'm not a gambler. Safest money for me, if I had to.
In the AL?
Just in general.
Yeah.
I'll go each league. In the National League, my safest money, I guess I go with Philly.
Yeah, and I'm sticking with the Dodgers.
And my safest money in the American League is the Astros. As much as I hate that.
I do too, but again, man, they've been flying under the radar this entire season because of their slow start.
But Cleveland is the land of misfit toys, and New York is Judge and Soto.
In Cleveland, you got to feel, again, they separated themselves here late, but again, how much do you put that on the Royals falling apart?
And the Twins falling apart.
And then the Guardians starting pitching does not give you confidence that they're going to make a run. So in the American League at this point, maybe it does come down to the Yankees or Astros and then the team who's the hottest in the league right now, and that's the Tigers.
Buckle up, my friends. When we come back next week, we'll have a lot better idea of what this situation looks like, and we'll go from there. So enjoy the next 5-7 days of baseball.
Literally, next week, at this very time, we will be 3.5 games deep into the wild card round. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Can't wait.
Buckle up. We're ready to rumble. When we come back, is this job a sneaky, really good job, futures bet style? We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Fair and Foul coming up in about 15 minutes, everybody's favorite. To steal a line from Dan Patrick's radio show, what I learned today, I learned that Michael Buffer is worth $400 million.
Not surprised.
I asked Joe, how much do you think? And he was like, 50. And I probably would have been like, probably more, maybe like 100. $400 million.
I don't get it. I want to see some tax returns.
Oh.
Don't.
I swear to God.
Oh. God, just you're going to make me don't be hurt you. Don't do it. Don't. Oh, no, he has, beyond the phrase, the video games and the appearances, I'm pretty sure he has a very high appearance fee.
Wasn't there a movie called that, too?
Probably.
A wrestling movie?
Yeah, he probably licensed that.
No, I think it's just called R to R. See, yeah, now y'all got me scared that I can't even say that.
That's what I meant, is that movie is... But again, but I don't think you can even
say that.
But I think
it's LG R to R.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
I'm pretty sure it's LG.
I'm getting sweaty.
All right, then let's just move on, okay?
Like, I just think we need to, not
speaking of people
this.
That aren't rumbling, let's go to the Cincinnati Reds. Hot baseball talk here. In Cincinnati, do you know they border the state of Kentucky?
Ohio?
Like,
Cincinnati, the city.
Barely, right?
Yeah.
I don't know my Ohio geography.
The burbs are on the border of Kentucky. You see how I did that? You see how no one's worried about anymore?
Patrick, I swear to God. And yes, it is. How about that? I see that now. Very, very close to Kentucky.
The Cincinnati Reds depart with manager David Bell, who'd been there. I don't have the stats in front of me. Who'd been there for a little bit. Been there about 5-6 years. And I think there was a lot of people that thought he was a pretty solid manager. And he seemed to be doing some things. But now the Reds are in a position with Ellie De La Cruz, Hunter Green. They've got a lot of young prospects that are coming through. And I think they had visions of a Detroit Tiger, Kansas City kind of run this year. About maybe being able to sneak in the playoffs and being ahead of schedule. And that did not happen in any way, shape, or form. Outside of Ellie De La Cruz being a superstar. So my question to you, Joe, is I don't necessarily know who's out there. I don't know who everyone's going to target, whether it be a bench coach or a Joe Madden or a Joe Girardi kind of retread. But is this Cincinnati Reds job a semi-sneaky good job?
I think it's intriguing from some of the talent that you have on the team, as you mentioned, De La Cruz, Green, Spencer Steer, Nick Lodolo.
Former Duck Spencer Steer.
That's correct.
They got a starting pitcher, Nick Martinez, who has been lights out his last three starts.
They do get steroid-using Noelvi Marte back. He was hitting the cover off the ball before he got suspended.
Nick Lodolo, I believe is how you say his last name, correct? Nick Lodolo. And also, and it's totally escaping me.
Ty France, their first baseman.
No.
Well, they got Jonathan India.
You might have just said Noelvi.
Noelvi Marte.
Yeah, he's one of their younger prospects.
Well, but he was suspended. Yes. Now, I bet you he's not going to be as good, but he'll still be hitting all right when he comes back.
But the biggest problem for this Reds team over the last few years is it seems like they have a very, very good offense, and they give up a lot of runs. And granted, their ballpark is a very hitter-friendly ballpark. So whatever you do, I mean, try and get someone that knows how to manage a pitching staff and bullpen. Go after some arms. Because, again, I feel like year after year, the problem is the pitching. And I'll look and I'm like, wow, the Reds are putting up a lot of runs this year. Wow, they have a pretty good offense. Oh, they're giving up just as many runs this year. That sucks.
That makes it difficult to win games.
Yeah, so whatever they do, I think they have to have a pitching focus because offensively, it's been shown that you can build a pretty good team that is offensively, like not, I shouldn't say like firepower, but playing baseball on the offensive end that is smart. Stealing bases, mm-hmm. getting on base.
We've seen that in the last couple of years. It's just such a, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, it's a little more impressive that he's stolen 50-plus bases than 50 home runs. And those 50-plus stolen bases are wildly helpful to the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's just playing smart baseball, and I think that Cincinnati, it's like, you don't have a franchise that likes to spend a lot of money, so find players that, easier said than done, that are diamonds in the rough, and just have a manager that knows how to play baseball and kind of that old school mentality that we're going to worry about getting on base, and then we're going to worry about swiping bags, getting our guys in running positions or scores in running. God, why can't I talk? Am I smelling toast right now? Runners in scoring position and play baseball a la the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, that's sure. What, you know, and then again, have the manager be an expert in how to manage your rotation, your bullpen, and have a pitcher forward manager is how I feel that this team needs to go forward.
Teams that are a little ahead of schedule or interesting teams that could be open. Let's just say you're a random guy. Which one of these jobs is more exciting to you? The Cincinnati Reds, the St. Louis Cardinals, the San Francisco Giants, or the Boston Red Sox?
Well, you didn't say the White Sox, so that would have been intriguing.
I tried to find teams that were, you know, worthy of being in Major League Baseball.
I would say that the Cardinals would be the most intriguing option because I feel like they are...
Because of structural ownership.
Yeah, and I feel like they're kind of getting to a point where, you know, not knowing much about their front office and how their mentality is, but they've been out of it for a few years. Like, they haven't had those prominent teams that have made runs in the playoffs or, you know, even out of the first round.
I think I heard
making the playoffs.
This is the first year since Busch Stadium opened that they averaged less than 30,000 people in attendance per game.
Again, the excitement around this franchise and team right now
30,000. Just a small, obscure number.
It's one of the best baseball teams or franchises and cities.
You can argue St. Louis is the second best franchise of all time in baseball.
So
they got the second most World Series wins.
I would say, as like what job is most appealing, I would say it's probably the Cardinals. The Giants are interesting, but also with some of the, you know, whispers of the Zaidi.
Yeah.
You know, not
being a little struggle.
Yeah. It might be tough as a manager to be like, I don't even know, like, if we're going to be able to get the guys I want, if we're going to be able to make the transactions I want. Whereas the Cardinals might be in a not so much desperation mode, but we need to get back to where we were in the early mid 2000s as being one of the best franchises in baseball and competing every year, because they're not doing that right now, which sucks because you thought that was going to be the case with Arenado and Goldschmidt, but it definitely hasn't been the case.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals and the Reds, like all those teams I mentioned, the Cardinals, the Reds, even the Red Sox. I mean, I know the Red Sox have Alex Cora and they know that's their guy. Just like Detroit might not make the playoffs, but Hinch is their guy. I do wonder, though, is Cincinnati and St. Louis, for that matter, a better spot for a tenured guy, somebody that knows what they're doing, or are they good spots for taking a shot at a new candidate? Like, if you're the Reds, you got Ellie De La Cruz, you got Hunter Green, Jonathan India, Spencer Steer. You've got guys that are kind of a nucleus of what could be the forward. Is the forward a nobody, or is the forward a proven track record?
I'm trying to think for, I feel like the Reds, that's a good question. Because I feel like those franchises, it's like, I see the best of both worlds, right? Like, I've done this. Let me show you how it's done. Let me get this, like, Reds team. Like, Reds, I think, could benefit from having a
Scott Service.
Probably not. If I were Scott, I'd maybe take a year off. You know, sail around the world.
What the hell is the meaning of this?
If I am the Reds, I would probably want a retread coach that has proven success that can uplift this team and show them how to play winning baseball, again, with that pitching focus mindset. Who that is, I don't know. For the Cardinals, there's part of me that kind of leans that way too. Also, I mean, I don't know if Ollie Marmol is like on the hot seat or not, or if they're looking to fire
him, right. I was just trying to find,
but he's young, dude. Like, so they're doing that already.
They want to build something with him.
What's Tony La Russa doing? That'd be hilarious.
Dude. You're the White Sox manager, and you guys suck. I haven't managed in years.
He got hired at the age of 35. Ollie Marmol.
Dude, that's like Sean McVay territory.
35. I am 3 years away. From 35.
I am 5 years away on the other side from 35.
Give me 3 years, man. You'll see me. You'll see me as a manager.
Anybody a better manager than me? Let me tell you how great of a manager I am.
5 years younger than Rocco Baldelli at the time.
I can't wait to see how this Reds things turn out, because I think it's a sneaky good job, and I can't wait to see who they hire. That being said, let's get out of here. Let's go have some fun. Fair or Foul is next. Everybody's favorite. But first, we'll turn it over to Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite, Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday night. A lot going on. Our last regular season, Fair or Foul, before we get to the playoffs. A lot going on. Dodgers down 4-1 to the Padres right now.
Well, they got no pitching. It's all dead.
I don't know if people know this, but the Padres are in control of their own destiny.
They are.
How cool is that, to be not leading your division and you control your destiny to win the division? I think that's really rad. Shout out to the Padres for changing that terrible culture and a ton of money. Shout out to them. Without further ado, this is not my show. This is Schultz's this time. We turn it over to our fantastic producer, Jordan Schultz.
Appreciate you all. Some good ones tonight. Let's go all opinions. And the first one, we'll start with the worst team in all of Major League Baseball, but maybe a bright spot on that terrible team, and that's the Chicago White Sox, setting a record for futility in 2024. Yeah, they are obviously the worst team of all time. Guys taking naps in the clubhouse. They had no culture. I don't know why they hired Pedro Grifol in the first place, but the man that replaced Grifol, Grady Sizemore, very, very known MLB stud, MLB hottie, so to speak. I mean, the guy's jacked, but it's been nice seeing him in the dugout as a manager. I feel like he's got the right temperament for the job. Loved watching him get tossed, tossing his gum, getting in the umpire's face. So guys, fair or foul, keeping Grady Sizemore as the skipper is the right move for the Chicago White Sox?
You know what's really funny is I've actually kind of decided over the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months, maybe the last season or two, that guys not super far removed from playing, I think I'm a little out on as managers, okay? You know where I feel about Aaron Boone. You know where I feel about Dave Roberts. But look, Baldelli's got a team that's crumbling in the stretch. Council's got a team that's been worse than they were last year. Alex Cora, his only success, honestly, has really been cheating. I'm kind of out on players that aren't far removed becoming managers. However, in this state, I'll say fair. The White Sox have nothing to play for. They have said that they're going to reduce payroll next year. They need somebody that's just going to make them feel good. That's a good sounding name to sell some t-shirts and some bobbleheads. Fair. I think you should bring back Grady. Why not? Why not? You're not competing next year. Let him cut his teeth as a manager. And maybe once he gets fired, someone will grab him as a bench coach and be decent. I'll say fair. Let the kid ride. What do you got to lose? Who's going to take that job? Tony La Russa? Like, nobody's
taking...
Yeah, nobody's taking that job. Pedro Grifol is like, man, I knew I shouldn't have taken that job. Why not? Let him have it.
Can't get much worse. So, I say fair. It sounds like Grady Sizemore is like, kind of relished in this opportunity to try
what
and manage
would you
this
say
team.
You do here.
Hey, he's also in Band of Brothers.
He is.
The main
he's
guy.
He's pretty good.
Office. Yeah, I forget his name, but those are the only two things I
Ron
know.
Ron Livingston.
Totally. Yeah, I know you made that up.
No, that's his name.
I'd say fair. Again, like, I don't know who you would want to come in and do that job besides Ozzie Guillen. And at this point, I don't know if he would even want to do that job.
You don't want Ozzie now. You want Ozzie if you're, like, the Tigers. But you hate your manager.
I'd still take Ozzie. If the Mariners didn't hire Dan Wilson, I'd be cheering from the back seat for Ozzie Guillen way back in the end of the row.
Well, that might be the hottest take of the show.
Just saying. God, some stank in that dugout.
You go with Grady Sizemore, give him 3-4 years, and if you're somehow able to turn this franchise around into a playoff competing team, you know, good on you, because I don't know what the hell they're going to do. As you mentioned, they said they're not going to spend in free agency. What they need to do is somehow Jerry Reinsdorf to die from old age at this point.
Yep.
And then maybe there will be some changes to that franchise. But as long as he is running that team, he is the Jerry Jones of Major League Baseball. Maybe he'll be the manager next.
Why not? Was it GM Dan Jennings for the Marlins when they fired Don Mattingly, whatever, he just took the job
himself?
Yeah,
he came down and was like, yeah, I'll do it.
And then he got
fired. I've been waiting for Cashman to do it for years.
Love to see them put the uniform on. All right, guys, fair foul number 2, the AL wild card. We talked about it a little bit earlier in this hour. You can podcast it anywhere you get your podcasts. But there's 4 teams fighting for 2 spots. 3, but no, I'll say 4 because of the Seattle Mariners. They're 2.5 out, though. They pretty much are looking from the outside in at the Minnesota Twins, Detroit Tigers, and Kansas City Royals. The Royals have been terrible as of late. They finally got their first win in, I believe, 8 or 9 games tonight by beating the Washington Nationals. The Twins had their hold on the wild card, but now are 2 games out behind the Tigers, who have been playing out of their booty lately. So, guys, the Tigers in the playoffs... Which one do you think is more impressive? The Tigers in the playoffs or the Twins playing themselves out of the playoffs?
I'll take the first on this. This is so
tough. I was
going to
say, I'm a little taken aback because...
It's such a hard question.
No, I'm sorry. I saw this...
Joe is rabbit-holed about something else.
When the White Sox hired Tony La Russa... They sent an email to all their staff with like a graphic of Tony La Russa and stuff.
It said, congratulations, AJ Hinch.
It had AJ Hinch's signature on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Joe, well, we talked about it on this show.
I forgot about that.
You were here. You sat right there, actually.
They talked to AJ Hinch, didn't
Same
they?
Same microphone. They did. They didn't offer him the job. So he took the Tiger job.
Good.
My God. Anyways, I apologize. I guess I didn't remember that conversation or remember seeing this, but...
Yeah, because we laughed because we were like, the Tigers, the White Sox, who are bigger idiots? Nobody knows. They both suck.
Wow. Anyways, I apologize for, rabbit holing and going somewhere else.
I'll dive into this first. You know, I think what the Tigers and Hinch are doing... You know, especially with Spencer Torkelson, who's been an absolute disaster this year. Like, I'm in three fantasy leagues, and he went high in all those leagues. Like, and by high, I mean like fifth, sixth round. Like, people had a lot of pressure on him to be good, and he was absolutely terrible. He got sent down to the minors for 3 months. The Tigers were not expected to do anything. So on the surface, you kind of want to say, I'm more impressed by the Tigers and Hinch and what they're doing to get into the playoffs. But honestly, I think we sat here on this show and I think we all picked the Twins to win the division. I think we all sat here and said, we're going to take the Twins to win the division. And I was the random dude that was like, I don't know, I think the Royals might be pretty good this year. They spent some money in their bullpen. I'll go with the Twins. So it's one thing to be a surprise team that makes the playoffs and does better. It's another to have expectations of competing for the division. And right now, you're on the outside looking in. I'll take foul. I think it's the Twins. I think they are more surprising about playing themselves out of this playoff than it is the Tigers playing themselves in.
I'm going to go spelling bee on you. Can you rephrase the question, please?
Yeah, no worries. So which is more impressive, the Tigers making their way into the playoffs or the Twins playing their way out of the playoffs?
I would say Tigers playing their way in. Because even though I...
The good luck story.
Yeah, even though I felt like they were not going to be as bad as they were last year.
See, you rode the Tigers from the beginning.
Them making this run, because they had a little bit of a mid-season, I don't know, brain fart, where they just were not playing as well. I mean, even in the second half, they were below 500. I'm trying to get the schedule pulled up. I mean, in August, they were, at the beginning of August, they were 52-59, 7 games under 500. Hell, 55-63, 8 games under 500 on August 10th, 55-63. So they have gone 28-11 since that stretch, if I'm doing math on the fly right. Like, that to me, I was counting them out. At that point, I remember seeing them. I'm like, man, all right, the Tigers, they kind of suck now, and maybe they're not going to be as good as I thought. That this turn for them has been the more amazing part to me. I mean, the Twins, in a sense, like, we thought they'd win the division, but also I don't know if we think they thought that they were going to, like, run away with it and be one of the best teams in baseball.
We didn't think Cleveland would be as good as they are.
Correct.
We expected Kansas City to be a pain, but not this much of a pain.
Yeah, so I'll go Tigers making this run. Definitely more surprising or whatever the question was versus the Twins
kind of
falling off.
Kind of convincing me. I just want to take a shot at the Twins.
All right, guys, let's move on. Sad day for fans in Oakland this week. I believe Thursday is their final game ever at Oakland Coliseum before they move on up next season to Sacramento, where they will not be called the Sacramento A's. We will just call them the Athletics. It's going to be really, really weird. Or the A's.
A's.
I might just call them ass. Hey, the Seattle Mariners playing ass tonight, because there's no city to name them. All right, but guys, the statement that was put out by owner John Fisher has a lot of fans up in arms. Earlier this week, basically saying sorry to fans. In that...
A little too late, bud.
Yeah, in that said that
he did everything we could,
that they tirelessly worked, spent $100 million in 6 years.
5 different proposals.
to try and get a stadium deal done, but unfortunately, even after thanking the mayor's office, the port, the city council, the state, and A's fans that are employees, they could not get anything done. He understands disappointment and frustration, and all that he can say is that he worked hard as possible for 6 years, but I am truly sorry. So guys, fair or foul, Fisher's statement about the A's is the worst lie in sports.
I'll start this. I'm going to say, because of recency bias, fair, because what a slap in the face comment that is to Oakland A's fans. You try...
All six of them. They got more fans than we got listeners.
Come on. You tried everything. If you tried everything, you would be staying in Oakland. Plain and simple. And to say this when you have...
Could definitely have stayed in Oakland.
4, 5, 6 games left, like... Dude, F off. Like, screw you. Just such a disconnected, you know, like a lot of owners, disconnected with reality. Do you think we're stupid? Like, really, dude?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, unbelievable. I'm I'm speechless to the sense of just saying, like, yeah, this is the biggest lie in sports. And there's a lot of liars in sports. College coaches, one of the biggest ones I've said. But this is just appalling.
Yeah, what's funny is, like, I am anti-Fisher on this. The ass owner, not my wonderful co-host to my left. But I'll tell you what, I'll take a different stance on this. I think as far as bad owners go in this world, I think there's the Donald Sterlings of the world, the Dan Snyders of the world. But then you can also get into, you know, like, you know, Mark Cuban's been a pain in the ass a little bit, and Jerry's obviously a pain in the ass. And it all depends on how you are going to be a POS owner. Right? You know, Donald Sterling takes the cake. He's probably the worst of all time due to racism and sexual stuff and blah, blah, blah. But I almost want to give Fisher a touch of credit.
Oh, dear God.
Only because what? You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Art Modell. When Art Modell takes the Browns to Baltimore and looks at Cleveland, he was like, sorry, guys, and then throws up birds and bounces out.
I at least have a little more, bit more respect for that.
I have more respect for Modell because he flipped the birds. Fisher's kind of like, hey, man, I'm sorry we tried, but y'all knew I was leaving, and now I'm leaving. He strikes me more as an Art Modell than a Dan Snyder or a John Stanton, if you will. But no, he's a POS, and there are a few POSs. Like, in the history of Major League Baseball, the only POSs worse than Fisher are Marge Stott.
Yep.
And
for a lot of other reasons.
Bernie Madoff.
You know, John Fisher, his last name is spelled differently than mine. He has no C because he doesn't have character. All right.
Or Riz, as the kids say.
He isn't
Riz starts with a C. If
he doesn't have he doesn't have the C in his last name because he's not a champion.
Not a champion.
Unlike this Fisher.
Because he didn't own them when they won three in the late 60s and 70s and were an absolute force of Major League Baseball.
Well, I think we've already taken up enough time. Let's wrap it up, guys. It's already 8:51.
All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, wrap this bad boy up. Hot corner, that's Joe. I'm Patrick, 10A the Fan. Like I've been kind of teasing all show, when we come back next week, we'll be in the thick of the playoffs. And I mean that, like, thick six, that thick.
Multiple C's on that.
I love that an old man said thick six on accident.
So thick you could put a mug on that thing and ride.
You wanna know? I want to give a shout out to the boys in the morning.
Why?
Because I've been listening to their show a lot lately.
Oh. Why?
I don't know. I think it's because they're idiots.
I listen to that show purely for Jason Swigard, who will be soon calling the games for the WCC champion Portland Pilots. What?
I love you. That's wonderful.
I saw him today, and I was just like, you ready for the Pilots to run that conference?
I'm about to hit up.
That's right, bitch. Let's go.
I'm about to hit up Swag to see if he can hook me up with 5 free tickets to see WSU at the Trials Center.
Dude, you saying earlier in the show that you're going to go catch him Washington State games.
At the Trials Center. I you best like, believe I'm going this year, dude.
I'm like, dude, sign me up.
They're probably never going to play at the Trials Center again. I'm going to the Trials Center to watch Wazoo. Place is a great spot to watch college basketball.
I probably should never play in Trials Center to begin with, but, you know, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to go to the Trials Center and see my Cougs.
Here's the situation.
We were dropping some of those in the sales pit yesterday when that Gonzaga news broke of them joining the Pac-12, but then not joining the Pac-12.
Yeah. God, I'm so glad I didn't have to work in radio yesterday during that Pac-12 debacle.
Dude, what a mess.
What an absolute.
It's still.
Thank you for the thick six.
It's still a mess.
It's going to be a mess. It's such a mess. And I listened to the boys this morning and it's like, you know what? You know what I've been doing? This is what I've been doing that makes myself feel a lot better. Is I've been running into friends. So I go places and there's a ton of like Oregon Duck fans, right? Okay. Oregon's had a little bit of a struggle to the season so far, but you know, they're still in good shape. They're a top 10 team. I think they're going to compete heavily in the Big Ten, if not win it. You know, Ohio State is really their only in my opinion, tough game on the board. And what I've been saying to my Oregon friends is, if we beat Boise State, I would love you to show you around Pullman when we play you in our hosted playoff game as the Group of Five sponsor of the college football playoff.
Because
in no shocking form, it's 4 weeks into the season, the Cougs are 4-0, and Patrick is sitting here saying, you ready to go to the playoff? We're going to host a game.
Barely 4-0.
Against Tennessee. Tennessee's going to come to Pullman late December, and it's going to be snowing, and those kids are going to have no
idea.
Tennessee's
going to hang 60 on
Tennessee
you
is going to have no idea what to do with that snow until they realize they're up by 30 at halftime.
After facing Alabama and Georgia this year, God, what will they do?
What will they do? But they haven't seen snow. We got them right where we want them.
I don't know. I think you can get some snow in Fayetteville in November.
Dude, I mean, is Mateer walking through that door in the SEC championship? I don't think so.
You know, speaking very confidently for someone who barely escaped San Jose State.
I'm so high on my Cougs, dude. I'm so high on my Cougs.
You should be.
If we beat Boise State next week, dude, we are favored in every single game. I'm going to go to the new Crapple Cup. I don't know what we're going to call it. But I'm thinking about going down to Corvallis for the game.
Also,
I think it'll be fun. Go say hi to a bunch of people. Commiserate together. And I got a buddy who lives in Corvallis and... Yeah, it sounds fun.
I was doing my podcast earlier today with my buddy, and I mentioned to him, I have never consumed Cougar Gold.
Oh, really?
And quite frankly, there's something off-putting about the fact that it comes out of a tin can that doesn't seem very appealing to me.
Oh, cheese in a can? Oh, it's amazing, dude. I've got aged stuff.
Cheese in a can, man.
Cheese in a can, bro.
Haven't you ever had cheese whiz?
Cheese in a can, bro.
It's really good. Eat it.
I've got some aged stuff. Yeah, Joe, I will get you some Cougar Gold. I'll tell you what. If we beat Boise State and we get to Oregon State and we're undefeated, I'll bring you some aged Cougar Gold.
What kind of cheese is it?
It's white cheddar.
Oh, okay. I mean,
white American cheddar.
You got me on board already. $33 a can, huh?
Dude, it's good. Get the original. Don't get the off flavors. That's not important.
Do they sell it in stores? I mean,
you can get it at like New Seasons and stuff.
Maybe I just go snag it at New Seasons or something.
All right, that'll do it for us. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. We come back next year. Playoffs, baby. Yes, baseball. That's Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. Thank you, sir. Go do something. I would do.